We want to continue our worship now with the reading of Scripture. Our first Scripture reading will come from Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 43rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, verses 1 through 7. And it is found on page 623 of your Pew Bibles. And so let us listen to God's word for us. But now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Our New Testament reading will come from Acts. We'll be reading from chapter 8, the book of Acts, verses 14 through 17. And it is found on page 955 of your Pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now, when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Our gospel reading will come from the Gospel of Luke this morning. And again, we'll be reading from Luke 3. Verses 15 through 17, and then we will skip down to 21 and read verses 21 and 22. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. As the people were in expectation, and all people questioned in their hearts concerning John, whether perhaps he were the Christ, John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, with thee I am well pleased. It's the word of the Lord. Today is the baptism of the Lord Sunday. Little baby Jesus is all grown up and is about to launch out into his ministry. But before he does that, all the gospel writers tell us that he goes down to the River Jordan to be baptized by his cousin John the Baptizer. Again, all four of the gospel narratives give us a glimpse of Jesus's baptism. I should say that Jesus's baptism, of course, is not the first baptism that we find in the Bible. There are actually earlier baptisms. The first baptism has to do with creation itself. You'll remember in the Genesis story, in the very beginning, we are told that there is nothing but water, and the Spirit of the Lord is moving on the face of the waters. And before it's over, God begins to speak creation into existence, and it is all good. It's good. It's good. Creation is good. But we don't get too far along in the story when we learn that because of human bloodshed and human violence, that the waters reclaim the earth. And for 40 days and for 40 nights, the chaos waters reclaim the earth except for Noah and his family and the inhabitants in the ark. They go through the waters, and then on the 40th day, they send out the dove, and the dove is hovering over the waters like the Spirit was at creation. And then the dove comes back with some greenery indicating that the waters are receding and creation again, new creation, is once again something that is happening after the great flood. It is the story of the flood, of course, but it's also a baptism story. The story of new creation, the story of leaving one way of life behind and embarking on a whole new life as God's people. And then we get a little further on in the biblical story, and there's the story of Israel itself. Israel deep down into Egypt, slaves in Egypt, and Moses comes and liberates the people, and the people are let go, and they begin to make their journey towards the promised land, and the Egyptians decide that they don't want to let their slaves go, so the Egyptians come after them, and the people are between the sea, the Red Sea, and the Egyptians, and they don't know what to do, and Moses lifts up his hands and the waters of the Red Sea begin to part, and the Israelites go through the waters and the Egyptians are after him, and then the waters come in and fill in the spot and the Egyptians are killed, but the Israelites, God's people, begin a whole new life as God's people. One way of life they have left behind, the life of slavery, and they begin to embark on a new journey as God's people. It's the story of the Exodus, but it's also a baptism story. And now this morning we have the baptism of Jesus himself. He has come down to the wilderness, to the Jordan, to be baptized. And there's always a whiff of scandal around the Lord's baptism because we are told that John's baptism is a baptism for the remission of sins. And what is Jesus doing being baptized? What did Jesus do? What sin did he commit? Why does he have to be baptized? There's always people who are looking for scandal. But we can relax because Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't commit any sin. Jesus doesn't go to the River Jordan to be baptized because he is a sinner. He goes to be baptized in an act of solidarity with all of us. Which is really amazing when you stop to think of it, because Jesus is God's Son. Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, he doesn't come to the River Jordan to point fingers. He doesn't come to the River Jordan to tell people how horrible they are. But instead, he comes to the River Jordan and he gets in line to be baptized along with everyone else. And that's when we get the epiphany of the sky opening up and the Holy Spirit coming down and the voice, the divine voice, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's how Jesus begins his ministry. It begins with his baptism. But this morning, I don't want to talk so much about Jesus' baptism, but I want to talk about our own baptisms. This Sunday is always a good Sunday for us to remember our own baptisms. I still vividly remember mine. I was 12 years old. I was baptized in the Church of Christ, me and my two brothers. In the Church of Christ, we baptized by immersion. We call it dunked, being dunked in the water. And the baptismal font was in the back of the pulpit, and I remember putting on the rubber pants that you had to wear to be baptized, and I came sloshing out in the water from one end of the baptismal font, and the pastor came from the other end, and he asked me some questions, and he grabbed me, and he dunked me under a little too long, I thought. Maybe he thought I had a lot of sins that I needed to get rid of, but he dunked me under, and then he told me that I belonged to the Lord Jesus Christ forever. It's my baptism story. Maybe you can't remember yours. Maybe because you were baptized as an infant. But when I say remember your baptism, I don't mean you have to remember the actual baptism, but remember what your baptism means. It's important that we remember what our baptism means. One of the things that baptism is about, of course, is identity. When we are baptized, we take on a new identity as adoptive sons and daughters of God. We belong to God. That's what our baptisms mean. And that's important to stress because that identity can so very easily be usurped. The forces and powers of the world are always ready to claim us as their own and assert that we belong to them. Many of the fights and conflicts of our world are about identity. Who is it that we belong to? Who is it that we identify with? You belong on this side, or do you belong on that side? You belong to this color, or do you belong to that color? Who do you belong to? What is your identity? We even do that in the church sometimes. We divide ourselves into camp, and we belong to this camp, and they belong to that camp, and it's all about our identity. But this morning we are reminded that when we are baptized, we belong to God. We are sons and daughters of God. And not just sons and daughters of God, but we are beloved sons and daughters of God. God loves us. And that makes a difference. It makes a difference when you know that you are loved. Makes a difference when you know that there's someone out there who loves you and who cares about you. And that's what our baptisms are about as well. It's a reminder that God loves us and cares about each and every one of us. We are God's beloved. I hope you remember that. Especially during those difficult times when the world would try to convince you otherwise. When it tries to convince you that you are unworthy. When it tries to convince you that you're a failure. When it tries to convince you that you're perhaps not as good as other people. That you don't belong. Remember that you are God's beloved. Beloved son. Beloved daughter. I think that's what helped to sustain Jesus in much of his ministry. I think that Jesus always kept that in the forefront of his thoughts, that he remembered that I am God's beloved, that I am the beloved Son of God. I think he remembered that when he was out in the wilderness being tempted by the Satan. He remembered that I am the beloved Son of God. I think he remembered that when he was rejected by his hometown. I am the beloved Son of God. I think he remembered that when he was arrested in Jerusalem, when he was mocked, when he was spat upon, even when he hung on the cross, I believe he remembered that and took that deep down inside of his heart. Whatever else might be happening, whatever else anyone might be saying about me, I am the beloved Son of God. And I hope you remember that as well. I hope you remember your baptism. I hope you remember who you are, that you are God's beloved. Second, baptism is about holiness. You can't belong to God and live any way you want. When we are baptized, we are called to be holy. We are called to be set apart. We are called to live holy lives. I know the trend today, even inside the church sometimes, is that God loves us as we are, and therefore what we should do is to strive to be ourselves. But no, God calls us to be holy. Not holier than thou. Sometimes we in the church assume a posture of being holier than thou. We have a list of sins that we keep before us, and we congratulate on ourselves for not being the kind of people that might commit those kinds of sins. But usually that has nothing to do with being holy. That's just middle class respectability, perhaps. But it's not about being holy. There was no one that was more holy than Jesus. Jesus was the most holy person who ever lived. And yet, for many people, Jesus didn't appear to be very holy. He often hung out with the wrong kinds of people, kept company with the wrong kinds of people. In fact, people often said that Jesus was a drunkard and a wine bibber. There's nothing holy about him. But what made Jesus holy was that Jesus loved God with all of his heart. And he loved you and me with all of his heart. And that's what made him holy. That's what made him different. That's what set him apart. That's what made him like God. The depth of the love that he had for all of us. I know oftentimes when we pastors talk about love, people's eyes roll over and they say, oh, there he goes again, talking about love, because they think you're being wishy-washy. But love is not about relaxing the standard of holiness. Love is about intensifying it. When you love someone, when you love people, it means that you're all the more engaged in hoping that they are living the kinds of lives that are befitting of being people of God. Jesus was once asked, what was the greatest commandment out of all the commandments? And Jesus said, love God with all of your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor. When you love your neighbor, you don't have to worry about all those other rules and regulations, because when you love your neighbor, you're always going to do the best for that neighbor. Love God and love your neighbor and live holy. That's what it means to be baptized. There are all kinds of things that can enslave us, all kinds of things that we do allow to enslave us if we're not careful. We allow our lives to be enslaved. We allow ourselves to go down the wrong road. We allow ourselves to be back into Egypt again. But you can't belong to God and live any way you want. You are called to be holy. Every time we baptize someone, we're telling a story. It's a story of dying and rising. It's a story of new creation. It's a story of leaving one way of life behind and embarking on a new journey as God's people. Often people will call and they will inquire about baptism, and they will want me to baptize their baby. A woman called, I remember, when I was a newly ordained pastor, and she wanted to know if we do baptisms. Do you guys do baptisms there? She said, and I said, yeah, we do baptisms. We're in church. Well, I would like to have my baby baptized. She said, well, how old is your baby? And she said, well, my daughter is not yet a year old, and I would like to have her baptized. What church do you go to? I asked her. Oh, I don't go to church right now, but I used to go to church many years ago. Are you baptized? I asked her. Yes, I was baptized when I was a child, but now I would like to have my baby baptized. And as a pastor, you sometimes struggle because I know that this woman doesn't know the story. For many people, baptism is just a rite of passage, something that you do, an opportunity to get dressed up and have a photo op of a very important period in the life of a child. Our baptism is a kind of insurance that they have. They bring the most precious thing that they have, and they want to make sure that if anything happens to this baby, the baby will get to go to heaven. So, Pastor, baptize my baby, please. But they don't know the story. And so sometimes as a pastor, I struggle to acquaint them with the story. And that's what I try to do in this particular instance. It was one of my first baptisms. And I said, do you know what happens when we baptize babies? And she said, no, what happens? I said, what we're going to do when we baptize this little baby is we're going to put this baby to death. The baby's going to die. Excuse me, she said, what are you talking about? I said, when we get this little baby is going to die. If I'm doing my job right, and if everyone is doing their job right, we're going to put this little baby to death. Don't worry, we're going to raise her up again, but we're going to put your little child to death. Your baby is going to be dead to the world. All of those forces and powers to seek to claim this little baby, she's going to die to it. You know the forces and powers out there. Those forces and powers that seek to identify her and claim her. We're going to put those things to death. She's no longer going to belong to those things. And she's no longer going to belong to you either. And so for all those ambitions you had for that this little child, she will no longer belong to you. She will belong to God. And you know how precarious that is, don't you? She said, no, what are you talking about? I said, when this baby belongs to God, you don't know how God is going to use this baby. You don't know what God is going to lead this baby, where God is going to lead this baby, what this baby's future is. This baby now belongs to God. She will no longer belong to you. So all of those ambitions, all of those plans that you have for this child, she no longer will belong to you. She will belong to God. And I can't promise you where God will end up sending this child when we baptize it. Oh, she said, I'll give you a call tomorrow. It's been 10 years and I'm still waiting for that call. We are called to remember our baptisms. We're called to remember that we are a people who belong to God, that we are a people who are set aside to be holy, to begin a new way of life. This morning we will be ordaining and installing a new class of officers. These are people who have been set aside to do special work in the life of the church. Some of them will be responsible for the governance of this particular congregation. Others will be responsible for being the hands and the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and serving the members of this congregation and the members of this community. But it all starts with baptism. The work that they will do is not just their work, it is the work of all of us. All of us who are baptized, it is our work too, because we belong to God. We are His beloved. And we are called to live that out in the midst of this world in which God has placed us to serve as His people. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this day we remember who we are by remembering our baptisms. We belong to You. And so we ask, Lord, that You help us to live in to what that means, that You help us to live holy lives, that You help us to live lives that are befitting what it means to be Your sons and daughters. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.